Well, happy Wednesday. You guys having a good week? Tonight I want to broach a subject I've entitled, A Simple Key to Being Guided by God. It can be confusing at times. Is that you, Lord? You know, sometimes it's most difficult to know if it's the Lord or not when it's actually something that you're desiring, something you're wanting to do. Because you convince yourself, well, I think maybe I'm hearing that he wants me to do this because I want to do it so badly. And it can be a little hazy for you. Then in contrast to that, when it's something you don't want to do, sometimes you may think, I wonder if this is the enemy trying to deceive me. So there's always that back and forth. But I do believe that as believers, the scripture's very clear. Jesus said this. In John 10, that's not the main text we're going to study tonight, but he said in John 10, 27, my sheep hear my voice. Now, are there any sheeple out there? Any of you sheeple? Okay. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And I love the way that verse is packed together, because when he says, and I know them, that tells me he knows how to communicate with me in a way that I'll know it's him. He knows our disposition, our personality, our history, our future, all of that. And so he knows us so very well. He knows us so much more than we know ourselves. And he knows God's plan for us much more than we know ourselves. So it just makes sense. Listening to him is the way to live, the way to go, and the way to make your decisions. Now, there's a verse, actually about this time last year, I preached a message on Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and I'm going to share that with you in a moment. And we really want to focus on one section of those verses as we talk about a simple key to being guided by God. I'm going to share a few statements with you tonight, gather some thoughts around those statements, try to make some practical applications, and the goal is that when we head out of here at the end of the service tonight, that we'll be better informed about how to be guided by God and hopefully have more confidence that the Lord will speak to us and that we can hear him when he speaks. It's a big subject. We can't cover all the bases on the subject, but I want to throw a few frisbees from the Word at you tonight. You catch them and hang on, okay? All right, here we go. The scriptures, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. This is one of my refrigerator verses, one of my favorites, because it just tells you how to live your life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, all in. That's what he's looking for. And lean not on our own understanding. It's faulty, by the way. In all your ways, acknowledge him. We want to really focus on that. That's the reason it's highlighted. And what will he do? Here's his promise. He shall direct your path. He doesn't want us living in a confused state. He wants us to know his will. Now, he might not show us around all the bases. Most of the time, he doesn't do that. Sometimes he does give us a glimpse of this big thing he wants us to do, and it's going to take us years to see its fulfillment. And a lot of times, he gives us that next step we need to take to position us to take the next one, to take the next one, and take the next one. Remember, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's the other part of John 27. Being guided by God means that you are hearing, obeying, and following. Now, notice something about this verse before we move into the statements I want to share with you. There's basically three actions we're called to do in this verse. One has to do with trusting. One has to do with not leaning, and the third one has to do with acknowledging God. Trusting, not leaning, or I could say it this way, making sure you're leaning the right way, leaning toward him, not your own understanding, and acknowledging him. Now that word acknowledge in the Hebrew is the word yada. Let me teach you a little Hebrew. Say yada. Yada. That's pretty easy, right? And the root of it's to know, but the way it's used here, it's talking about there's an intimacy in knowing God. It's not just cerebrally, I have this intellectual fact I've stored away that God is present. No, it's an intimate, relationship-oriented idea. I know He's with me. I know as a New Covenant believer, He's in me by His Spirit. I know, according to what Paul wrote, He's for me. This word yada is rich in the idea of a depth of intimacy where you and God are in union and you know He's got you. If you're facing something, you know He's got it. That type of idea. So in everything we do, in all your ways, we are to yada Him. Out of a place of intimacy, draw on the fact that depth of knowledge and awareness and consciousness, I'm not alone in this. God is for me. Like David when he went out against Goliath. David, I mean, get this in your mind, you know, maybe a skinny little teenager, but he could sure throw a rock. And Goliath, this huge giant of a man, and the armies of Israel up on the mountain trembling in their sandals, and Goliath, the Philistine, he is cursing the God of Israel. He is mocking their army. He's telling jokes about it, making light of it, calling them out. Somebody, come fight me. None of them would. Not even King Saul, who was a man of pretty big stature himself. But David's attitude was, hey, none of you guys going to go out and take this guy on? Our God is God. So he acknowledged that they weren't mere men. They were men who had a God taking care of them, went down, did business. You know the rest of the story. Became king, and we still sing his songs today out of the book of Psalms. Don't we want our life to have an impact like that? Well, it can't unless we're guided by God, unless we're hearing his voice and doing what he's created us to do. And there's such a variety in the room tonight of what God has created us to do. We all have some of the same mission. Let our light shine. Do what we do for the glory of God. Be a witness for Christ. Live righteously. There's certain things that we're just called to do. We're all to be involved in making sure the nations hear about Jesus and the beauty of the gospel. All of that. But then there's the breaking down the specific things he's put in you, your talents, your creativity, your personality. I mean, he's on his palette of paint, he's made all of us different. And certain things will quicken and awaken and alert you that have to do with your destiny. And you'll usually know it when you start hearing about that thing. There's something in you that begins to just move. I've shared this scripture with you on a number of occasions. It's so relevant because it's so prevalent. People get discouraged. They lose heart. Most of us have been there, right? Some of you may be there tonight. But this scripture says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. That's that low place. You know, nothing's happening. I'm confused. I feel isolated, maybe depressed. But that verse goes on to say, but when desire comes, it is a tree of life. Tree of life, a reference to Eden. Eat from it, live forever. There's something about eternity that's awakened within us when the desire that God has put in us rises to meet the destiny he has before us, that causes us to rise up, break off the bands of depression and oppression and weariness and fatigue, and step by faith into what we're created to do. I love it when desire comes. That is a work of the Holy Spirit. You need to identify that. It goes with one of the things I'm going to share tonight. I better jump on in it, hadn't I? First statement. With this in mind, if we were going to be guided by God, think of listening to Father instead of learning a formula. Again, that word yada calls us to a relationship of intimacy with God. Don't relegate your life with God to be just some religious ritual and activity where you're checking the box, Make sure I do the things God wants me to do. Now, yeah, make sure you do the things God wants you to do. But don't do it mindlessly without passion, with no understanding that God wants you to do those things so you'll draw closer to Him, hear Him more clearly, have more faith to see those mountains move that's in front of you. Think of listening to Father instead of learning a formula. Particularly in our Western culture, we love formulas. I do 1, 2, 3, then look at me. You know, A, B, C, and boom. You know, we like it when we can just be told, oh, you do this, followed by this, and followed by this, and you get this. You do these actions, you get this outcome. A lot of truth in that. And it's good to use that kind of principle and when you're making plans and so forth. But we're talking about being guided by God. You're not going to be guided by a formula, but you will be led by a Father. So kind of condition your thinking about Father is your daddy God. Well, my goodness, preacher, such a thought. Perish such a thought. No. That's right out of the Bible. The Bible says when you got saved, Holy Spirit started whispering in your spirit, Abba. Literally, it's an Aramaic term of endearment that means Papa. Dada. Like a baby, a young child. Dada. Papa. The Holy Spirit wants you to know that God is your Father. Don't think religiously, think relationally. You are a child of the Most High God. So if you're going to be guided by Him, instead of trying to learn some formula and get frustrated because, well, I must have left out a step or they didn't tell me about this, think of listening to your Father who loves you, who's for you. It was His hands forming you when you were in your mother's womb. And reframing your thinking around that idea will help you be guided from Him, by Him. You know, sometimes we think it's going to be some kind of voice that sounds like Darth Vader coming from the great beyond, you know. But most of the time, when the Father's speaking, it sounds a whole lot like your own voice. But you learn to identify it in your spirit. And it's so important. So that's one simple key to help you to be guided by God, is to learn to relate to Him and listen to Him, knowing He is your Father. Now remember what the Scripture says, in all your ways acknowledge Him. The Him is your Father. Acknowledge Him. Realize you have an intimate union with Him through Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm going to move on when I hear some amens. Amen. Second statement. Hear God's call to wake up and acknowledge His presence. Now, I'm going to pick a scripture that I shared in detail about a couple of Sundays ago. You remember when I shared the message about a strange night at the campsite? When Jacob had his dream, saw the ladder going to heaven up and down, and he woke up and he said, surely God was in this place, and I didn't know it. Isn't that something? God was there, and he was unaware of it. Well, that seems an impossible thought. You've never been anywhere where God wasn't present. He's omnipresent. But as a believer, you have the special promise of His presence with you through the Holy Spirit. One of the last things Jesus said to His disciples before He was caught up into the heavens and seated at the throne of God is, I will be with you always. As you go out to the nations, as you go out doing what I've called you to do, I will be with you always. But again, we can be conditioned to think, if we don't feel God, then we must have done something wrong, and He's way out yonder. First of all, anything you've ever done wrong has never surprised God. He knows the end from the beginning. I mean, God's not up there and like, oh, son, did you see what he just did? No. So, shake the etch-a-sketch, get that out of your mind. You're not going to surprise him, but what you can do is call on him. And you can, in all your ways, even in the hard times, the low times, the times of sorrow, the times when you're battling, fighting, times when you've been betrayed, times when you've been depressed, times when you've gone through some kind of sickness, times maybe when you suffered a divorce. You go down the list of the things that break hearts and hurt people. In those times, this scripture still calls us, you acknowledge him. You be aware he hasn't left you. He hasn't forsaken you. You acknowledge his presence with you. But I don't feel his presence. You live by faith, not by feeling. Now, I'm the front of the line. I love to feel the manifested presence of God. What do I mean by that? Times when our body gets in on what's actually happening in the spirit realm. And you literally sense God's presence. You get those goosebumps. Or sometimes, I've had times when I've started trembling under the presence of the Lord. I've had times when I spontaneously just began weeping, unplanned, unrehearsed, just because of God's presence. So, hear God's call to wake up and acknowledge his presence. Because like Jacob, we can be in a situation and we feel like God's nowhere around here, when in fact he is present. So don't allow your feelings or your emotions or your circumstance rob you of the precious eternal truth that he will never leave you nor forsake you. You need that anchor to hang on to, because there may come a time in your life when you feel like everybody that knows you has turned their back on you, and the people that love you most are hurting you most. Some people go through times like that. You need to know that your Father is faithful. He doesn't bail on his kids. Acknowledge him when you don't feel like it. Acknowledge him when you're feeling his presence. Acknowledging him in the good, in the bad, and the ugly. Something Clint probably didn't do in that movie. If you say amen, I'll go on to the third one. I'm having fun tonight for some reason. All right. Third statement. Don't let presumption interfere with God's revelation. Wow, now this is where we've all been stung a time or two or three or four. Now, the reference there in the book of Joshua, remember we're talking about acknowledging God in all our ways? And one of the ways we fail to acknowledge when we think, oh, I already know what to do here. This is obvious. Don't do that. Because we make the mistake saying, well, God did it this way the last time, so when I see that same thing happening, it must be God. Or, I did this last time when God did that, so I'm going to do that same thing and God's going to do that again. He doesn't work by our formulas. It works when we are led by the Spirit. In other words, we do it God's way. So in Joshua 9:14, let me give you the skinny in a hurry. The Israelites are encountering a group of people called the Gibeonites. Now, they were inhabitants of the land that God was giving them. You know what God told them to do with all those inhabitants of the land? Wipe them out. Well, the Gibeonites, they put on all rugged-looking clothes, had moldy bread, had everything looked like it was worn out, like they'd been on a long journey. They probably put some dust in their hair and just, you know, look weary. And the Israelites come upon them. Who are you? Oh, we've been on we are not of this land. We've been on a long journey. And the Gibeonites trick the Israelites into a covenant with them, so that they basically are protected by the Israelites, and yet they're the enemies and have tricked them. But they gave their word, so they had to honor it. And we're told in Joshua 9, verse 14, here was the problem. But they did not ask counsel of the Lord. Well, it's obvious. Look at their sandals, how worn out. Oh my goodness, it looks like they've been on the road for months. Look at that bread, how it's molded over. It's obvious to them. They did not seek counsel of the Lord. And this is called presumption. Oh, I know what God wants to do. Oh, do you? I'm not going to tell you my stories. You can get in some big mess up thinking something's God when it's not. And it doesn't take long just to acknowledge Him. Lord, is this you? And let His peace bear witness with you. Peace is one of the strongest ways to be led by the Lord. You're losing peace about it? Well, everything looks great, but you don't have peace? You're not seeing something the Lord's seeing most of the time. And that might not be something wrong. It's just not right for you. It may be something someone else really needs to do that God wants them to do, but you're about to step in there, do this to them, and take over. So don't presume. Don't let presumption interfere with God's revelation. And I make the statement at the bottom, presumption often relies on familiarity and past memories instead of yadah, intimacy. In all your ways, yadah. In all your ways, acknowledge the Lord, and He will direct your path. But they did not seek counsel of the Lord. So that one mistake basically means they had to drag around with them something that was wrong for them for who knows how many months and years. Have you ever been in a situation where you made a decision and you're having to live the consequences for weeks or months? It pays to seek counsel from the Lord. Now, why would you want to do that? Because He knows everything. He's smarter than you are, than I am, than we are. He is all-knowing. Now, amen? All right, let me move on. The fourth statement. Learn to discern when and where God is moving. One of my favorite scriptures, the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 19, takes me back to my Henry Blackaby days when I was pastoring in the Baptist church. I loved that series, Experiencing God. And the whole basis of that book is learn to discern where God is working and join Him in what He's doing. Based on this, Jesus only did. There's the qualifier. You want to know how Jesus made decisions? He only did what He saw the Father doing. Isn't that something? He was God of very God in human flesh, but as the second person of the Godhead, the Son of God, He submitted Himself in obedience to do only as the Father directed. We're told here that's all He did. He only did what He saw the Father doing. He was guided by God because He was... And Sunday, we'll have some graduates here Sunday, and I'm working on a message to share with our whole church about some life lessons. And I'll be touching on, in part, on this Sunday, so I'm not going to go too deep here. But learn to discern when and where God is moving. I was talking to one of our members, I think it was yesterday, and they shared with me how that recently in work this had happened a number of times. Because this person has been praying, they've been fasting, they've really been trying to learn to walk more closely and deeply with the Lord. And he said, you know, he'd always been concerned about people with whom he works, but something has started happening. They're beginning, because that his light's shining bright, I'm telling you, that my brother's on fire. He's got people that are coming up to him saying, and he hadn't really shared a lot about this with them yet, and they said, I need you to pray for me, you know. And he's just saying, like, all right, let's do that right now. Takes them by the hand and just starts praying. And God is moving. That's you identify only when somebody, if somebody comes out up to you and mentions, I need you to pray for me, that's the Holy Spirit moving. That's God at work. You need to realize God is trying to guide you through what He's doing in their life. You learn to discern that. And so you want to be where God is. You want to do what God's doing. You want to join Him in that. The Holy Spirit's primary work is to spotlight Jesus and link us to the Father's heart. What we don't want to do when that spotlight's shining is think the light's shining on us. We got lighting up here for people to see me better, but for those of you out there that may be watching this and those of you here, don't pay any attention to this guy. I want you to see Jesus. I can't change a life, but I can tell you about somebody who can. And the Holy Spirit, He works the spotlight. When He's working, He shines it on Jesus. So when you sense God moving and working, you start asking Father, what do you want me to do here that will glorify your Son? How can I manifest Jesus in this situation? You are joining with the work of the Holy Spirit because He testifies of Jesus when He's working. That's the reason when you walk in our commons area out there, we have Jesus, the name above every name. You know, He is to have preeminence in all things. He is the head of the church. He is the head of this church. This is not my church. This is not your church. We're part of the church, and it's all His church. Amen? Jesus. But aren't we glad we're part? Amen. Amen. So learn to discern when and where God is moving. Now, amen? Number 5. We're almost through. Commit to a conversational companionship with Holy Spirit. Again, going back to that word, acknowledge in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Well, if that's what the Lord's after, is that us to have that relationship that's in union and intimacy with Him, we'll commit to a conversational companionship with Holy Spirit. And 1 Thessalonians 5:17, I think, is touching on this when Paul writes and says, pray without ceasing. Well, how do you do that? How can I have a conversation with Mickey and be praying at the same time? Well, prayer is about communion with God, sharing your heart with Him and listening and letting Him share His heart with you. To me, the stance of unceasing prayer is to always have a conscious awareness that God is with you. When you're doing that, you're acknowledging Him and He'll direct you. You see that? You're acknowledging Him. He'll speak to you. He'll guide you. He'll help you in all your ways. Acknowledge Him. So when you have that conscious awareness, well, how do you have a conscious awareness? Believe the book. Put your faith in what God's Word says and pray from that place of faith. Live from that place of faith. I feel like a weakling here in this mountain. I can't see how to move. Yeah, we feel that way in the natural. But God's Word says, greater is He who is in me than he who's in the world. Mountain, in Jesus' name, be moved. Cast into the sea. You can speak to your problems. You can speak to your circumstances. You can certainly put the devil on the road. And you can speak to your Father and commune with Holy Spirit in that conversational companionship. That's praying without ceasing. You know, sometimes people think of this being guided by the Lord like a radio would work. You turn the radio on and all of a sudden it pulls a signal from somewhere. That's not the way it works. There's voices that fill this room right now. The radio just is able to tune in to the frequency and reveal the communication that's taking place all the time. Isn't that true? You can take the phone out. Don't do it, but you could take your phone out of your pocket right now and listen to people on the other side of the world. You could hear, probably might hear the president of the United States and the president of China talking to one another right now. And you could certainly turn it on and hear better preaching than you're hearing right now. All around the world. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing that we have that technology? But what is that compared to Holy Spirit inside of us? Tuned in to God's station? There's no static in that place out of your spirit. And the Holy Spirit reveals what Father is saying to us. When you're reading the Scripture, that's like you're thinking, your spirit, you're becoming focused, and you begin to hear the Father speaking out of that Word. There's the mystery to that, but look how we've cracked the code in technology to broadcast visual images and to broadcast voices. That's amazing. That's just a smidgen, we would say in the South, compared to the real deal that lives inside of you that enables us to communicate with heaven's headquarters. Amazing. Commit to a conversational companionship with the Holy Spirit. Unceasing prayer is simply keeping the line open throughout the day. If your phone starts buzzing, what do you normally do? You answer it. You know why you answer it? You either feel that vibration, if you've got it on vibrate, or you hear that ring, whatever your mode might be. You hear it. You identify it. You take the call. Acknowledge God in all your ways. You'll find yourself, and you keep these things I've taught you tonight in mind. You'll begin to feel the buzz or hear the ring and answer the call. And you'll begin to discern the Lord speak to you. And then by faith, you begin to obey Him. And then when you see God honoring His Word in your life, then the next time, it's like when I first met Nikki, first time I ever heard her, you know, was so mesmerized by her beauty, I don't really remember just how she sounded at that time. I was so smitten and swept off my feet. Just stay on. I'm getting a lot of amens up here. But now, I when I hear a voice, I know it. On my first mission trip, 1983, I was in Nigeria. We were to fly home, start our journey home that day, and the flight I was to board crashed coming into the airport, killed a bunch of people on board. They rushed us onto another plane to fly from Port Harcourt in Nigeria down to the capital of Nigeria, which is Lagos. Then we would fly to Amsterdam, and then I would fly on home. Well, Mickey's driving home from school. She's teaching school. She hears on the radio the flight number of the airlines that I was on, because she had the schedule and she had been praying. She heard on the radio that that plane with that flight number had crashed. So she called our state missions department at that time to find out, was that the flight my husband was on? They said, well, we don't think so, but we don't know for sure. It would be 12 hours because that was 1983. You couldn't just call home from Nigeria. The internet had not been invented and so forth. So it would be like 12 hours later because they had to go to Lagos, had a layover, and then finally arrived in Amsterdam. And the first, I got to the airport when I could get to a payphone, I dropped in the coins and I called home. Matter of fact, I put money in. I called home and Mickey answered the phone. She said, hello. And I said, Mickey, click. We got cut off. I knew it was her because she said hello. And I said her name, Mickey. She knew it was me. We knew each other's voice. So it was hadn't been reported. They didn't know for sure. But she knew I was alive because she knew my voice. And I'm telling you, Holy Spirit saying, Abba, Father, because He wants you to know your Father. He wants you to learn to hear His voice. And when you start hearing His voice and you know it's His voice, woo, your faith goes, He is alive. He's the real deal. He is the Almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present God. Amen. And Don't you forget that. These are some simple truths concerning how to be guided by God. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand together. I'm going to ask our prayer team members that are scheduled to be in the altar area tonight, would you come up? Perhaps there's someone here that needs prayer. I'm going to dismiss you in just a moment. But we always want to have people up here to pray for you. We believe in prayer. We do this every service. We love praying for people. We believe God hears and answers prayer. And what a wonderful night if you have a need or you have a burden or if you're sensing Holy Spirit saying, you know, I should get prayer tonight. Then do what I've taught you. Join God in what He's doing. Recognize that's the Holy Spirit saying, come on up. Come on up. Receive ministry. So, Father, thank You for our time together here tonight. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You that if we'll trust You with all our heart and not lean to our own understanding and just acknowledge You in all our ways, You will direct our path. We can be guided by You. Help us, Lord. Help us to take these truths to heart. Teach us, O Lord, to discern Your voice accurately. Help us to be a courageous people that are willing to go where You want us to go, do what You want us to do, say what You want us to say, and be who You want us to be. Bless my brothers and sisters here tonight, Lord. And for those who may need prayer or touch of ministry tonight, Lord, help them to make their way forward now to be blessed of You. In Jesus' name. Now, go forth. Be led by Spirit. Acknowledge Him this week. Consciously know that He's with you. Take some breaks throughout the day and say, Lord, I know You're with me. Anything You got for me? Anything You need me to do? Check in with Him regularly. See if it won't make a difference in your life. Let's give the Lord a hand. Thank You for being here tonight. Be blessed. This altar's open if you need prayer.